All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Saturday, December 6th of 2025. Looking ahead here, we have an action-packed weekend full of football, college, or NFL, college football, basketball, NHL, amongst a host of other sports as well. So, should be a fun weekend. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do the show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do the show here on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So you can tune in any one of those days to get your questions answered. All right. With that said, let's get SaberSim pulled up on the screen. We do have a few questions that came in prior to the show. So we will start there and then just kind of see where things go. I'm going to get these questions queued up for us. And that is good. All right. First question of the day. In sports like basketball, where lineups aren't confirmed until potentially minutes before lock, is it better to have a build already made and just refresh the projections and save those lineups? Or do you have to completely rebuild the lineups in order to get the max benefit from a player that was originally projected to not be a starter, but now is? Just to be clear, I'm not talking about anyone being a late scratch for injury, just starting lineup changes. Okay, good question. I think it's important to remember that any late breaking news, everyone in your contest effectively has the same problem. Okay, nobody has an advantage, right? This time constraint, effectively, right? This is what we're talking about, like time constraints with like starting lineups coming out. Everyone's dealing with that same problem at the same time. So don't feel bad. Don't feel like if the news came out late and you weren't able to update, you know, chances are like almost everybody couldn't update, you know, if it came out like super, super late, right? So just keep that in mind that it is a universal problem for all the players in your contest. The second thing, for me, it really matters how big the projection change was, right? Kind of the way I talk about late swap. So like if I were in Discord, right? And let's say that a sim ran and so like this Biombo one, right? Biombo comes up like 5 points, you know, I think this is worthy of a rebuild. You know, if this was pre-slate, this Jaden Ivey one, I don't think it's worthy of a rebuild. You could just recontest sim. I think that's like totally fine, right? So it's always going to kind of depend how impactful the changes are. Also remember that literally the worst thing you can do is miss lock. So I would always get something in, you know, even say it's, you know, 15 minutes before lock, maybe there's two games at lock. And so that means four teams and maybe three of the teams have announced and the last one has. Do not wait until the last one has announced to run an initial building and submit an initial set of lineups, right? Use the information you have, use the information that's available to you. Put in lineups that are going to be mostly correct and then re-update only if you have to, right? Only if something comes out, lineups are different from expected, you know, something along those lines, kind of what we're discussing here. But you should like 1000% get a good set of lineups in 15, 20 minutes before the slate starts and then update it as time allows, right? But, it'll go back to projection adjustments, you know, how big are those adjustments? And then depending on the size, that should basically lead you to say, hey, I'm going to rebuild. Hey, I'm not going to rebuild, and I'm just going to resim. So that's the way I think about it. All right. I've seen some discussion regarding top prizes affecting contest decision. Some suggest a 20% to first is an important floor. What are your thoughts on this? As most low stakes seem to be well below this, 10% or less on micro stakes DK. So this isn't something I'm overly concerned about. Our latest kind of contest filtering recommendations as to kind of helping guide you what contest you should play. I think the biggest thing is making sure the top prize is greater than or equal to however much you're wagering that day. Okay. So like that is something that we've kind of changed in our messaging more recently. So like what I would do, right, is I would come in here and let's say that I'm going to be playing $200 on Sunday, right? Okay, then I want to set a top prize filter where this is greater than or equal to 200, right? And then I want to start with contests that are less than $3 first. And then I want to play the highest effective entrant contest, right? These contests, like if you look at these, right? 10% to first, 5% to first, 5%, 6%, 5%. These are great contests though, because the effective entrants are super, super high. It takes a lot of unique users to max out these contests. And basically the more unique users there are, the less sharp lineups you're going to get, right? Like there's only so many good DFS players when you need 11,000 people to max this out. There's not going to be, you know, a ton of great lineups, right? That's kind of where the edge comes from. Like, you need these extra people to kind of pay the rake. You know, the fact that this is 10% to first doesn't matter to me at all. It's high effective entrance. Top prize is greater than my wager. I think this is a great contest to play. So I wouldn't be super concerned about the percent to first overall. I think focus on these other aspects of the contests, and that should be better. All right, next question. I've seen how customizable building lineups are within SaberSim. Is it better to edit stack exposures in general or better to edit the exposures per team, per stack for NHL as an example? If I'm trying to limit how much of one team I want. Okay, so if you are specifically trying to limit how much exposure you have to one individual team, then I think it is really important to do that in the team stacks tab. So the stack exposures will just limit the type of lineup constructions you have. 4-3s, 5-2s, 6-stacks, 3-3s, all those kinds, right? That's what stack exposures does. The team stacks gives you the ability to say, hey, this percentage of this team, this percentage of that team. I think it's better to do it in the all tab rather than the individual 2-3-4-5-6 stacks, because it gives SaberSim some flexibility in the sense that you are limiting your overall exposure to this team, but you are allowing for SaberSim to play the team in the way that it feels is best. Is it better to play this team as a small stack? Is it better to play this team as a big stack, right? You're still letting it kind of make those decisions. And I think SaberSim is generally good. You know, it's kind of built for making those decisions. Like, okay, if we're going to play this team, you know, this is probably the best way to play them, right? I would trust it in that regard. But I think team stacks, all stacks is probably where you want to be here. All right, next question. I'm new, 1 month or so. Welcome. And I don't make any changes. I just let the sim run and upload my contest. I play all sports. I've not profited yet. Is that standard? I'm not complaining. Right on. I think that what you probably need to do is start utilizing Contest Flashback to figure out, are your lineups good? where can you make improvements, and how can I iterate on my process over and over and get it, you know, incrementally better to where I start seeing profit, right? So like what I would do is, let's go back to Friday and we'll look at basketball, right? Say you played basketball. And we also have a good tutorial here. I just want to call it out, but we're still going to walk through this. You go to the help section, you go save some tutorials. Using contest flashback, very good breakdown, kind of walkthrough article here. I'm just going to drop it. All right, so let's say you played basketball yesterday. Okay, great. You know, I come into basketball. I go to the contest tab. Maybe I played the quarter jukebox, right? Okay, I come into the jukebox. All right, I'm going to go over to users. And what I would do, right, is if you enter the maximum number of lineups the contest allows, great, set a filter for that. So you want to look at people who entered 20 lineups, similar to you. If you entered like 10 or something, do greater than or equal to 10. And then I prefer to sort by sim ROI. All right. So now, right, I come in here. I want to do a couple things. Number one, when you build, your lineups are going to be like pinned at the top like this. So you'll have an easy reference for like what your results look like. One is I want to say, hey, where is my sim ROI compared to the top users in this contest? And then I kind of want to compare some of the characteristics of the lineups, right? Hey, am I using, you know, a similar average salary? Do I have a similar number of average dupes? Do I have a similar sim average score, right? I kind of want to keep an eye on like all of those things. And we could see like this Gators person, I'm pretty sure they just like ran their cash lineup and entered it 20 times because their projection is so high, because this lineup is duped kind of heavily, right? So like probably running a cash lineup. But you know, you're basically trying to learn from the other users in your contest. And, you know, look like this top sim ROIer had like a pretty good day, right? Pretty high actual ROI. Hey, you know, maybe I want to look at what they played, right? I filter for them. I go to projections. You know, how many players did they allow in a lineup? Oh, they only allowed three from one team. What players did they have the most exposure to? Okay, they had a lot of Steven Adams, Kevin Porter Jr., Austin Reeves. Where did they take any stands, right? If I sort they fade Olenek here. Looks like they're right. He ends up with two actual points here, you know? So something happened here and I think it was that Biombo sim where Biombo went up, Olenek went down. Seems like they heavily adjusted for this and were, or maybe the field didn't adjust fast enough, right? Projected own was higher, actual own came in lower. They full faded here. So maybe they were just kind of on top of the news. I'm not 100% certain what was announced or not announced here, right? But you can learn, hey, you know, did I miss some news, right? Do I need to be better with paying attention to these things? So like that, this, you know, kind of characteristic of their lineups is interesting to me, right? Maybe we add in a column and we want to look at the value. And we say, hey, the highest value players, how did they handle them? Hey, they got way over the field on some of the best values on the slate. And you know, these guys did really well. I think Steven Adams is 6X here. KPJ had a good day. Robert Williams was a smash play. This was the one, right? It looks like this is why they won. I don't know what happened here. I don't know how they got to Robert Williams, but something they did was correct because Williams' ownership was super, super low, and he had a phenomenal day, and they capitalized on it heavily, right? 65% Williams, he's 5% owned, he's 4,400 salary, he scores 36 points, right? You can kind of like, especially when you play the slate, when you know kind of what happened, you can kind of walk back through it. Like, hey, Why was this guy 5% owned? What news came out? How did they get to so much of him? And, you know, it was obviously super beneficial, right? So these are the things that I would be doing across all my sports that I'm playing to try and figure out in what way, shape, or form can I get better every single day? What do I need to account for? What do I need to pay attention to? Are things being announced and I'm not knowing them, right? Where can I find like a good news source? You know, Underdog NBA, go on x.com, follow them, put on their alerts, right? Hey, I'm going to turn on their alerts from, you know, slate start to slate end, and then I'm going to turn it off, right? So my phone isn't blowing up. But maybe you need some type of push notification for all of these things getting announced, right? So that's like the way I would be thinking about this here. And, you know, you could check out that article I posted and then use it across all sports and slates. All right. Good stuff. Let's turn off this filter. So we got a little bit of time for a build demo here. So why don't we go over to the NFL slate coming up? All right. Cool. So I'm going to jump into this build too. All right. So I come into my build two. I'm just going to make the two minimum required adjustments to generate lineups. I'm not going to set any filters. I'm not going to say, all right, actually, I will set one rule. This default, don't use players against opposing defense. Generally a good rule. That's why it's like a preset. You just have to activate it. No adjustments to sliders. I am going to build less lineups just for the sake of time here, but always build as many lineups as your plan allows. All right, we're just letting these lineups run. All right, lineups run. We're in the post build. I'm going to create a build with 20 lineups. I would recommend using Portfolio if you have an entry file uploaded. I don't have one, so I'm just going to use Unique's one, SaberScore. Again, Portfolio does use SaberScore on Starter, and then on Portfolio Plus on Ultimate uses ROIs for your contest sims. But either way, is good. We are in the post build, got our group ready to go, sorting by exposures here. Now, really, it's just kind of about analyzing this, making sure that we're comfortable with all the stands SaberSim is taking. If you don't have any opinions, great. You know, save it, upload it. Got that question. If you do have some opinions, right, if you like to do some risk management, if you like to kind of put your eyes on things, right, and make some minor tweaks, now is the time to do it, right? Now is the perfect time to do it. So you can start. Kind of, I like to recommend starting like with like a wide scope and then kind of zoning in, right? So wide scope would be, hey, you know, what are the stacks that we're playing? What kind of stacks, right? Okay, hey, we're playing QB plus twos, QB plus one, and then QB plus one with a couple bring backs, QB plus one with a bring back, QB plus two with a bring back, right? Do I like these correlation aspects of it? They seem fine to me. So I like that. Great. I guess kind of jump through here. Couple game stacks, not too many. And then these percentages for the game stacks are pretty in line with like our pool, like nothing too crazy. We don't have, you know, 50% game stack and like only a couple lineups with those stacks. So it's not too bad. What teams are retargeting? And it's kind of spread out, a little Seattle, a little Jacksonville, a little Washington, a little Tampa Bay, and then some singles. So it seems like our quarterback exposure is probably going to be pretty spread out here, which we'll go to now. Quarterbacks pretty spread using a total of 10 quarterbacks. I think that's like pretty common. I've studied a lot of lineups from top players and they usually get pretty spread out at quarterback. I'm going to jump to defense here. And, you know, it is kind of a lot of Cleveland. They do have high ownership. Defense is one of the most high variance kind of spots in DFS lineups, it makes me a little concerned. This like one data point where ownership is like 30%, pool exposure is 21. So it's like lower, and then we're way over on the Browns. And they're kind of expensive. They're one of the more expensive teams here. So all in all, this leads me to say that I might want to lower this and get maybe more spread out. I'm still going to leave a little bit of leverage on the Browns, but I'm not going to have as much. I'm going to lower this to 40% exposure. So come down about 15% and then get a little bit more spread out. Now you need to understand the impact that's going to have, right? So now SaberSim is jamming the lowest salary defense, probably has less to do with the fact that it likes the defense and probably more to do with what it allows you to do in other lineup spots, right? By paying down at defense now, we're probably able to pay up in other areas. So I don't think that's bad, but I do think this maybe is a little too much leverage for me. You know, I've talked about like, hey, 2 to 3x exposure versus the team player or team's ownership, you know, is probably better. So I'm going to bring this down to like 25%. And these are my own personal opinions. You know, this is where you kind of put your own feel on things and, you know, kind of make it yours. Right now, I like my exposures more. I'm getting some single defenses here with some shots on some other teams. I still have positive leverage on the team SaberSim liked, the Browns and the Raiders, but I just have less, right? I am managing my risk there. And we added a quarterback now, so we went up to 11 quarterbacks, which is okay. All right, last thing I got to do, check out positions, right? I would highly recommend not clicking through the individual positions. The reason is because let's say I go into running backs, and I'm like, this is too much Breece Hall. I set a max exposure to him. SaberSim can circumvent it by like, okay, if you don't want to play Breece Hall in the running back, fine, but he is still eligible for the flex. So then it could put him in the flex, right? Probably not what you intended. So it is better to go to the alt tab, right click on position, and go through the positions that are eligible for the flex here, right? When I adjust an exposure here, it is going to account for all positions they are eligible for. So this kind of has that overall exposure kind of adjustments, right? And then I would do my running backs, my tight ends, my receivers, and then, you know, kind of same format, just making sure I'm happy with everything, making sure I'm comfortable with it. And then once I am, I can save these and upload them to my contest. All right. Looks like we are caught up here with questions and office hours and Discord. I'm sorry, YouTube chat. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back Monday, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.